So Aaron asked me to speak this morning on involving our children in ministry. And so you may have noticed in the last couple of weeks we've had a blonde girl standing up here singing with us, and that's our daughter, Molly, my wife, playing piano, myself playing guitar, our daughter Gianna, joining us in worship. And I have a suspicion that's why he chose that topic. And we'll talk maybe a little bit about that throughout our time, but we're going to focus. I think that probably if I had to boil it down to a word, I would probably use obedience as sort of a key thought about what I'm going to share. So we're going to begin in Ephesians 6. We'll be jumping around a lot. This is an atypical message for MCF. We typically do verse-by-verse teaching, and this morning it's going to be a topical. So we'll be bouncing around a few passages here and there, but we're going to start in Ephesians 6. And this passage will be familiar to most of us. Starting in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That last phrase was kind of the key that brought me to this particular text, bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as a starting place for modeling and bringing up our children to a place where they might join us in ministry, in service. And we'll get into some definitions here in a minute. But one thing I thought of when I was looking at this was there's a parallel with, if we go back into chapter 5 just a little bit, we have that husbands and wives section. So, wives, submit to your husbands. It sounds a lot like that verse 1 out of chapter 6 that we read, children, obey your parents. It's sort of like a command, right? And then further down, it says that the husband, love your wife, even as Christ so loved the church. I kind of saw that parallel with the children obey, the wives submit, husbands love. Husbands don't provoke your children to wrath. There's some keys there. I think that they work in tandem. It isn't, you know, we could go chasing the chicken or the egg kind of thing, but I think that those work well simultaneously when they're both happening. When you have love, you have submission is the word used there, but it's a loyalty that's going on, right? And when you have gentle parenting, not that we're perfect at that, but when you have nurturing in the word with your children, you have a greater likelihood, I think, of obedience from the child when they have a context to put this in. And so that's where I kind of wanted to start this morning. There's a lot of verses that we could dig into. But children are a gift. That's out of Psalm 127. Children are an heritage from the Lord. They're a gift, and we need to be training them if we want to see them come up into and alongside us in ministry. So now let's get to what ministry is. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 kind of help us. We're going to turn actually to some different sections, but I just want to touch on reasonable service, that idea in verse 1 of reasonable service and not being conformed to this world. So that is a tall challenge that we have in 2023, not being conformed to the world. I think that I know in our own experience of raising children, it's very difficult today. I think there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of rejection of truth just across the board. And so we're seeing a greater divide, I think, between the church and the world. In some ways, that almost makes it easier as far as being able to see it. It's a little bit less maybe effective in its deception because it is so markedly different. You can easily see the difference. But I would argue that the temptation to conform to the world is still very, very much there. And the fight, I think, has become a little bit more severe, maybe. We have to work harder, I think, to protect. So more on that in a little bit. We're going to take a little bit of a side trail here on the idea of ministry. So we're talking about involving children in ministry. So what is ministry from a biblical standpoint? Things come to mind, of course, the obvious invisible ministry that goes on in a church body where you've got people cooking and providing food in the cafe, or you have people, you know, leading worship, teaching upstairs, teaching downstairs. You've got the media folks in the back. Anybody that's doing a job that's visible, security, the deacons, the elders. There is that aspect to it. But it really comes down to serving one another. So in just looking up these terms, serving, learning of the needs and the needs of others, and caring to try to meet those, and being a blessing to one another is really what ministry and service boils down to on a practical level. One commentary that I looked at, or maybe it was just a dictionary entry, but it talked about Abram. And him being become, you know, I'm going to make you a great nation, God said to Abram. And that through this nation that he was going to bless all the families of the earth. And so right from the get-go, there is a desire on God's, you can see God's heart in the matter is to take Israel, form it, make it a blessing to all the families of the earth. A gift to serve. Another example from the Old Testament is Joseph serving in Potiphar's house. We have a Hebrew term there, shahrath, which is to minister, to serve. He was given dominion over that house and because he was trusted. He was a trusted servant. So New Testament examples. And this is where we're going to land for a little bit here. So if we go to Mark chapter 10, we're going to stick there for a little bit. I'm going to read just three verses here, beginning in verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I jotted down some notes here. We've got minister in verse 43. We've got servant in verse 44. We've got ministered and minister in verse 45. And so these are all related terms. In fact, if you look them up in the concordance, they're three numbers in a row. They're all kind of out of the same root term. And that term is, you'll recognize it, maybe not in its Greek form, but you'll recognize what English word we might get from that. Diakonos. I think I'm saying that right. And if you haven't guessed it, the transliteration of that word, which is just to bring the word from one alphabet into another, phonetically sounding like diakonos is deacon. So we get our word deacon from that in verse 43. So again, whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And so this word, minister here, diakonos, is one who executes the commands of another. So a servant, right? Someone who is serving or ministering. And then we have a different term in verse 44. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. So who of you will be the highest? Whoever of you aspires to be the highest needs to go the lowest. And that's a very common theme throughout Scripture. Things are turned on their head in terms of who gets glory and who's sort of overlooked. The ones that try to put themselves out front are the ones that get sort of overlooked, and you've received your reward through your the attaboys that you got or whatever. Like that's your reward. It's the one who goes lower, who becomes the servant of all, and that is a term that you've heard our pastor Aaron talk about a lot, doulos, which is slave. That's what that term is, and it's, I think, a low slave. So, again, right in the context of that verse, talking about being the slave of all, and not in the way that we think of slaves when we think of slaves of American history. It was servant is really the idea. Verse 45. So this is our Lord Jesus speaking, saying that even I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And those words are the same word used twice there. And they're both diako eo. I'm pronouncing these probably not right, but that's okay. I'm not here to speak Greek. Just trying to bring some, there's a reason that I bring it up, because the next set of passages that we go to will have this word in it. In the definition here, being to serve, no surprises there, but it connects up with the next set of verses that I would like to go to when we think of early on in Acts, when, and this is the passage we'll flip to in a moment, but that some people were being neglected. It said the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. And there was a decision made not to divide their time, the teachers were not going to divide their time between teaching and serving tables. They were going to find some people to serve tables. And that word for serving tables, that's the word Jesus uses here, which I thought was really an interesting choice of words, that he is the servant. He puts himself in that lower category even there. He's not the one that's saving himself for the higher duty of ministering the word. He's saying, I'm just going to wait the tables. That's the word that he chooses to use for himself, that he's not here to be ministered to, but that he's here to minister. So let's go ahead and flip to Acts chapter 6, which is where those verses are. And we're in verses, well, we'll start right at the top of the chapter, chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Okay. So we have we have some key words to pick out here. We have in verse 1, the ministration, the daily ministration. Another one of those diakone, is that one, which is practical provision. That is the daily ministration. So practical provisions for these widows were being neglected or overlooked. And so they're working to address this issue. And so they call the disciples together and make the decision to seek out. I find this very interesting. And I think Aaron has made some comments about this as well. Honest report, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, to wait tables. So God is concerned that all the ministry that goes on is done by people who are surrendered to him, are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are in communion with him regularly, whether you're scrubbing a toilet or you're, doesn't matter what you're doing, for his service. He wants people who are given to him. And it's a really good point. And part of, as we talk about more about ministry and what that is, that becomes important. So there again, we have serve in verse 2, which is that word that Jesus said that he came to do. He came to do this same type of service as Stephen and these others that are chosen will end up doing, right? And Stephen, by the way, gives a pretty good, he's got some knowledge, we find out here in another chapter, right? He's a pretty able table server. He gives a big, long speech in chapter 7. So he's definitely knowledgeable in the word. And then in verse 4, ministry of the word. It's the same word that's used in that first verse about the practical provision for the widows that was being neglected. So it's all the same thing. If you kind of look at this all together, these words are a little bit different, but it's really the same meaning behind it. So they're saying, we're not going to minister in this way, we're going to minister in this way. We're just basically going to focus, but when it comes down to it, it's all ministering. It's all serving. And they use those words sort of interchangeably here in verse 1 and verse 4. So all of this background, just to say that we're all ministering, if we're participating in some way. And so, you know, some things, as I've mentioned, are visible, leadership and anything that's done here that's got a person or persons who are in charge, that's visible. But then there's the less noticed, providing a meal for somebody who's sick or recovering from surgery, or prayer, which is a huge one. It's really sad that prayer gets relegated to some sort of almost optional kind of part of Christianity. We should be laboring in our prayer life and striving to spend more time with God. That's how we hear from him. So we'll get to that too. But if we're going to be ministering, we have to be able to hear from the one who's calling us. We need to hear clearly and know what it is that he's asking us to do, right? So that prayer life is super important. Giving to needs. So just hearing about a need and writing a check, assuming that's from a heart that is wanting to serve, that is ministry. And there are just many, many, many examples. But lots of organizing behind the scenes, all that stuff that doesn't get seen, that's all important and necessary, and it means something to God. So, how are we ministering in so, so many, many ways? Raising children, those who do carpentry around here, and, you know, those who clean the floors, right? All manner of support. And the key to that, and this is another familiar verse to most of us, I would think, is Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. And there's also, I've always enjoyed this verse. I didn't get the reference to it, but so it's a paraphrase. But as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So God is really, really zeroed in on secret service, you could call it. Just serving each other. You don't need to get credit for it. We're told in Scripture, you know, again, that, you know, if you're getting all the credit, that you've received your reward. It's definitely good to do some things in secret where your Heavenly Father knows that you've done them, and he can reward you openly, it says. Okay. All right, so that's ministry. And what I'm talking about when I'm talking about ministry, I'm not just talking about, you know, positions in ministry or those sorts of things. We all have these opportunities. So now we get to our title here, Involving Children. And so what I wrote down here was adults, you first. You get to do it first, right? So I think that this ministry here has really brought this kind of idea to life for me, maybe in a way that other churches that I've been a part of haven't done so much, but there's a lot of heart and soul that goes into practical ministry within these walls. That is something that is highly regarded around here. Go out, and I think there was like a bicycle day or something, some Saturday, like, men, bring your tools after the men's breakfast, and we're going to fix up some neighborhood kids' bikes or whatever, you know, just like, they're always just thinking of what can we do to connect with our community, and what can we do to support each other and minister to each other. So, Christ obviously is our supreme model for anything that we're trying to follow him. We're trying to live our life as he would have us live it. One more section we'll flip to this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 through 8 of chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each one esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So there is our example, and that's why I said I thought obedience was probably an appropriate term. And it's easy to think from that first verse that I read, children, obey your parents. I'm talking about children being obedient. I'm talking about the adults being obedient. We provide a model for our kids. So Christ is our supreme model. He showed us, go lower, serve. Be the lowest servant, be servant of all. I didn't come here to be served, but to serve others. To become obedient, even to the point of the cross we just read. So we are to take up our cross, die to ourselves daily, and that means what we want, what we think we want to do, our agenda in life, to set that aside. That is an intentional thing that must take place. It's not automatic. We automatically will do what we want, and we have to intentionally follow God and serve others. So that's really what it comes down to. If our children notice that that's how we live, that we forego things in order to serve, or that we take the time to cook a meal for our friends down the road who are going through a tough time, or it's all these practical things that we talked about, right? Again, I'm not talking about just the visible, obvious ministry. We're talking about doing things together as a family, the kids in tow, witnessing and participating in all of these things. It provides a natural model for them to come along and join. And so as I was putting these thoughts together yesterday, my wife told me, well, not everybody here has kids or are parents, etc. You know, there are plenty of examples of people who have come alongside our kids, even though they don't have kids, maybe, and have inspired them to serve and have showed them their service, whether in the cafe, that's one of the biggies, because our kids are here early. When we get here at 7:30 to rehearse the worship music for the morning, usually the person or persons who are attending the cafe show up a little early as well, and they mill around with the folks back there. And oftentimes it's folks who don't have children. And you speak into the lives of our kids, you know? They see that, and that matters. So in the sense of us being a family, that's super important. It's not just, I think, the parent and the parents and the family. I do think that there's there's a necessity of that to happen for sure, but don't think that you're off the hook if you don't have children running around here. You can minister to the kids that are here, right? So this is for everybody. But in our serving, our children learn from our example. So that being said, I think that the level of diligence that we have probably should be ever increasing as far as carefully considering as adults how we spend our time, our resources, our lives all about ourselves. Now, I like that, in this verse 4 here of chapter 2 of Philippians that we just read, this isn't, to say that we neglect our own needs. I mean, it says right here, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Some other translations put it a little smoother than that, but the basic idea is don't look at only your own needs. Look at the needs of others. It's not saying totally neglect yourself, but take a vacation, whatever, doesn't have to all be sacrificed, but I'm saying that there ought to be some flavor in there in our daily lives about service and some sort of sacrifice that happens there. So as far as involving children in ministry, I think the point that I'm trying to make is, if I haven't stated it clearly enough, I'll try to do that now, that trying to make a program out of it, or force, or pressure, or, to get folks, children, to get involved, is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about modeling it in such a way that our children are in tow and doing these things. And that they make a decision to become involved. I've debated whether or not to share the personal story, but I'll just say that our friend here who comes up, our daughter, Gianna, who comes up and sings, Molly and I had never even mentioned that to her, which is probably, that could be surprising to some of you. You might think, well, maybe they've really been working on her to get her to come up there and do that. And no, that's not the case at all. She approached me one night as we were driving home from youth group, and she informed me that there was more often than not no music happening at youth group, and that she would be willing to start singing if I would come and lead worship. And I didn't see that coming. I just said, well, I will pray about that, I think is something that I might have said, like, oh, another thing. But I did pray about it, and I was like, you know, she was able to articulate that she felt like God was leading her to do that. And that doesn't come from a life that doesn't touch on the word and on a regular basis, that, you know, a life that involves no prayer life. I don't want to make this about us and how we do things in our house. I'm just saying that she is certainly ministered to with the word. She reads regularly. She's praying. Being in the word and being able to hear his voice is certainly a contributing factor to that. And again, it doesn't have to be a visible thing. It can be like, I want to bless my friends. They've had a hard week or something like that. I mean, children are kind of ready to do those things. They have big hearts, and we would do well to pay attention to that and foster that and come alongside that, facilitate those things. But we have, lots of scripture, train up a child. In fact, that's the Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. That when Molly and I first met, we would go around and play music in churches here and there, and we went and visited my home church in northern Maine, which was a shock to them to see me playing music in this format, and speaking, opening my mouth in front of people. And that was one of the verses that I went to, train up a child. I was definitely brought up in a Christian home that shared verses with me regularly, that held me to the Christian ethic and morality and those sorts of things. Not that I followed that perfectly, but it was there. And in those times, and Aaron will talk about those kinds of things from time to time, that when we hit some of those hard knocks of life, and we get on our knees and pray, he's there, and all of that knowledge is worth something. So training our children up. We read Ephesians 4:6, I think. Bring them up in the admonition, admonish. I had to look that word up, being vulnerable. I think I stated what it was. Admonish. Well, it's to help a person see the things that are necessary, whether it's for correction or that sort of thing. It's like bring attention to, I think, is the idea. Okay. Psalm 119, 105, teaching them to look to the word, right? Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Children that are believing that God can and does lead them, that his word is true, that it lights our path, giving us the steps is the idea. We see the next step and we take it. And children are just very good at this. I drag my feet at doing things, and children are just more like right there and ready to try it if you're there to support them in doing it. Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings. So a child is known by their conduct, right? And it's a good thing for us to bring them up in what is right. We have to do that. It says, the rest of that verse says, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I'm just spraying some verses out here at this point, just to make sure we get it real well here. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise your youth. That was something that I thought about. Just that young people are desired by the Lord. Suffer the little children to come to me, right? He says, let them come. Don't prohibit a child to come to me. He wants them involved, I think, is his heart. So again, just to recap, as we serve our children, not as we serve our children, but as we serve, comma, our children, will naturally learn and follow the example that they see in our home or here. So keep that in mind, that, you know, you're influencing the children when you're here, and to be prayerful about that and about your interactions with them. I'm going to close us in prayer, and we have one more song that we'd like to sing. So. Lord, I thank you so much for the blessing that children are. And I pray that we will increase our intentional nurturing of our children around your word. It's desperately, desperately, desperately needed in our world that's trying to tear them apart. Our families are an object of the enemy. And in the enemy's sights, Lord, I just really pray that for our families, that you would heal our families, that you would help us to seek reconciliation if that's needed, or to repair some of these things and to work together to live out a Christian lifestyle together. I pray that you would help our fellowship to grow in this area and supporting kids. I know that we are already doing many of those things. And I just pray that we would make room for them to participate and see what the Lord would do with them. We just thank you so much for your word and for the life that it gives to us. Help us to esteem it. Help us to spend time with you in prayer over these things, and to take our actions in life more seriously in light of your word and the times that we live. I pray all of this in your name, Jesus.